Well, hey, folks, you're listening to CKOW 95.9 FM. This is Jarvis Talk Radio Show. You're here with Derek Breckner, co-host, and Zoe LeBrun, my co-host, is not with us today, but she'll probably be back next week. This week we have three guests in the booth today. We have three artists, Clint Enns, Christine DeVono, and Lindsay Ingalls. And, well, technically Lindsay's a curator, but we can say she's an artist too. We're all here as part of the Summer Institute, which is currently going on at Plug-In ICA. And all three of these folks did a little bit of a reading on Monday, and I thought, boy, it'd be great to get them on the show to do this. So we're going to get them to talk about their art practice a little bit. We'll probably talk about the Plug-In ICA Summer Institute residency that we're all currently part of right now, including myself. And we're going to get each of the people to do a reading as well. So you guys are in for a treat if you're all listening. Okay, so first off, I'll just say welcome to the show, everybody. Hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Thank you for... So I'm wondering maybe if we can get each of you maybe just to kind of give a quick summary of your practice, if you can. I know that's kind of hard to do in a couple of minutes, but maybe we can just kind of give a... Yeah, we start off with Christine. You've been designated as the spokesperson
yes.
First.
So, hi, my name is Christine DeVono.
And where are you based, Christine?
I'm an artist in Ontario. Yeah. I've lived in Ontario for the last 15 years. Before that, I lived in England. And before that, Vancouver. So I've been around. And my practice is based on, this is actually the wonderful thing about the Summer Institute. The Summer Institute is, the theme is cartography of emotion, which is a really interesting theme to look at, mapping of emotions and cartography. And a lot of my practice deals with not so much emotion, but the feeling of belonging and the feeling of inclusivity, being part of a community. I've done a lot of work in the past with insulation and a lot of materials that I find in the community. And I had done work around climate change and environmentalism and things that go wrong with the world. And I was feeling really frustrated and quite depressed through it. And so I sort of switch gears into looking at what is it that we need as communities to feel strength within each other and included within our given families, our found families, our friends, the places we live. So that's where I am, and that's why this institute sort of fits really nicely.
Yeah, I agree. It's like it's... you know, with me, it's like there's a sort of a lot of family issues with memory and a parent that's losing her memory, and so for me it's been quite a powerful residency so far in a lot of ways. We just went through a meditation session, so we're kind of fresh off of that too, which is
I'm still asleep. Sleepwalking through this interview.
The lead for the residency, curator Irene Capomi, just led, and so it's been a great day so far. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clint, do you want to talk about your practice at all? Thank you, Christine.
Sure. I guess I'm an artist.
Absolutely, you are. What do you mean, I guess?
I'm an artist who used to be from Winnipeg.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Transcona represent.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're from Transcona, honk your horns. We'll hear you down here at the station, and it's a little. It will create a little mini symphony. I guess you're. Yeah. So yeah, like I'm. I guess I'm an artist. I'm kind of the opposite. Like we're talking about interconnectivity and, you know, trying to belong and things like that. And I'm like, oh, I feel like no man is an island. And I'm like, I'm an island. I'm definitely an island. Want to be an island. How to be an island. How to alienate yourself from your peers. It's a... yeah, so just be a weirdo.
You're the yin to my yang. Clint.
That's it. Yeah. Here we go. I'm just
so riffing. Can you maybe share a bit about, you know, like, I mean, you do a lot of different things. I mean, you're experimental film maker. You're a writer. You've curated festivals, like film festivals, amongst other things.
Yeah.
You know,
curating.
You've got 2 degrees in mathematics.
I do, and some cultural studies in there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
And you've got a PhD in cultural studies too,
something
as well.
Like that. Yeah.
So it's like, but
doing
but,
stuff.
But you are an artist. You exhibit.
I do. Yeah. No, yeah, I try. Yeah, and so like, I make art. Like, I kind of have the very loose definition of an artist, which is like, anyone who makes art is an artist.
I agree. I agree with that definition, and you know, and I think that you fit the definition of a 21st century artist.
Oh yeah. You know. Yeah, I do some AI too. Like,
We'll talk about that. Seems to be your latest.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even my latest thing. Like, I have an obsession. Like, every day I'm like putting like woman giving birth to a woman giving birth of a photograph into like my AI prompt generation just to see like what that will produce. And it's, let me tell you, it's grotesque. You don't want to see the results. That's a free prompt for all you AI text image generators out there.
And should we share your Instagram page? I mean, that's people can see most of it, right?
On Clint Ends, look me up, add me, give me a little like or follow. You know, smash that subscribe button, and you know, I'll follow you back.
There's no subscribe button. He's just joking.
Oh yeah, just follow. Hit follow the button. Hit it twice. You know, I'll follow you back. Send me a message. Yeah. Just you know, nothing too weird.
So, what is it about the AI that's interesting?
It gives me a hard no feeling. Like, it's, I look at these images and I'm like, why? Well, first, like, I love images that you're like, why does this exist? Hmm. Why and how? Like, what put this into the world? And that's like, some computer puts this in the world, and you're like, oh, I don't like that. And then you have to share that. Share that feeling with the rest of the world.
Okay.
I don't know. It's goofy.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, Clint, I'm going to move on to Lindsay Ingalls, curator, art historian. And so Lindsay, you want to get close to the mic and give us your outside voice?
Thank you again for having us here.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so I studied art history and love to research. So I do a lot of researching for art history and within contemporary art as well.
Like, you've curated some shows,
I've
right?
I've curated a couple shows now. I've curated a show at the U of M on surrealism in Winnipeg and kind of the history of when surrealism kind of took off in the city. Mm-hmm. And then I curated a show up at Clear Lake on just a couple of the artists who have taken part in the Deep Bay residency up there. I'm working on an exhibition in Kenora right now about land and kind of changing habitats and kind of what that means for everyone who exists within the habitat.
That sounds very exciting. So you're an emerging curator. I mean,
thank you
for
calling me that.
You know, I mean, I would say, you know, you've done an internship in the Guggenheim in Venice. So I'm sure, I don't know if we can even use the word emerging anymore.
Yeah, get rid of it. Anybody who curates a show is a curator.
But I'm wondering if you can talk about maybe some of the art historians and curators that you've worked with to serve as mentors or as guides. And
I'd say two of my strongest mentors have been Oliver Botar and Blair Fornwald. Oliver, I studied with him in my undergrad, and he is the one who convinced me to study art history in the first place. I was kind of in university but had no idea what I was doing until I met him. And then
probably because you were so good at everything, you couldn't make up your mind on what you wanted to do like that.
Thank you.
Facts.
Yeah. And yeah, he's been an incredible mentor figure for me, for kind of, and really helped me when I was applying for master's programs, and yeah, has been a big like champion of my writing as well, which I've always really appreciated. And then a couple years ago now, I did the foundational mentorship program with MAWA.
Who was your mentor with that?
Blair Fornwald.
Okay.
Yeah, they are an amazing curator and writer themselves.
Absolutely.
And I, at the time, I was pretty fresh out of university and was a little intimidated by contemporary art. And they switched that. They got that right out of me.
Yeah, because I mean, when you did your art history degrees, you were focusing a lot on historical aspects of.
Yeah, I initially thought I wanted to specialize in the Baroque period, and then my master's specialized in like World War I era. Yeah. And yeah, I found contemporary very intimidating until I spent time with Blair, and now I love it.
Shouts out to MAWA.
So do you have any places where people could like any websites that you can reference for any of your curatorial work?
I don't really.
Okay.
Just the websites of the places that I curated.
Okay. Christine, we didn't get your website. Can you give us your website?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is my name, so it would be www.christinedevono.com, and my Instagram is the same. It's at christinedevono.com. Now, it's an Italian last name, so I'm just going to spell it.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is Christine Devono, so it's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. D-E-V, as in Victor, U-O-N-O. And, so my website and my Instagram is my name, full, no spaces, no capitals. And, yeah, please send me a note as well.
Smash that follow button.
Not just click. Send us all.
Yeah, not just me. You can group chat us.
So thank you all for once again for being here. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. And we're here with technically four residency participants at the Plug-In Institute. We talked about potentially doing a reading from each of you, a short one, if maybe not... We can stick it under maybe like 4 minutes or so, something like that, for each of you.
I'll try.
So you know, we got about 16 minutes left, or 15 minutes left. So I'm wondering if maybe we should start with that. Who would like to go first?
Ooh, silence.
I can go.
Okay, Lindsay Ingalls is going to give us a little reading here.
So this was written just in a kind of short exercise within the residency, which is about cartographies of emotion. And I guess just for a little context, I have moved around a fair bit in the past few years. And when I was thinking of cartography and emotion, instead of thinking of places that I have lived, I kind of just thought of a very specific trip that I had taken that kind of enabled me to kind of have the confidence to move around afterwards. So here we go. Over 300,000 people walk the Camino de Santiago every year, starting in France through the Pyrenees Mountains and walking along northern Spain until they reach the Cathedral of Santiago. Many then continue for another 3 days until they hit the west coast, where they gather to watch the sunset at Finisterre. This experience is intensely personal, yet universal, as you sleep in hostels with 100 beds per room. When I was 20, I didn't think much about walking nearly 900 kilometers across Spain. I just knew it was something I had to do. When I told my friends and family about my plans, encouragement was not a word I would use to describe their reactions. They were confused as to why I wanted to go on a pilgrimage, and even more so as to why I didn't think it was a big deal. My mom reminded me that I was agoraphobic, and if I couldn't leave the house without having a panic attack, how was I going to travel alone in a foreign country? I'll figure it out was the only response I could come up with. Since then, I've moved around throughout the prairies, the UK, and Italy, yet northern Spain remains where I feel one of the most deepest connections, perhaps because it's one of the places, the only place where I left toenails behind.
Excellent. Thank you. So Christine DeBono is going to be next.
So I also did a writing with this project or this prompt, and instead of thinking about places outside of myself, I thought more of the places within and how we hold emotion and how those emotions are connected to our bodies and what happens to our bodies and how we carry that around with us. Also with my latest project, You're Invited, I use a lot of poetry, both mine, others. I invite people to add their poetry and mantras that help them when they're in dark times. So I decided to do a poem. So here's mine. It's called Internal Dialogue. How navel-gazing am I? The soft skin asks, preening in its past glories of housing humans, not once, but three times. Yes, I am soft. I may slouch and I may give in to prodding, but I'm also expansive, ready to house a multitude if needed. And who made those humans, Who created a whole extra organ to feed and shelter them? Who built them strong with their toes and the right number of eyes and future teeth? I may sit like a sunken stone now, but life has swum in me like fish. Would you listen to them? Reveling in past glories like old women. So many years ago, and they can't stop bringing it up. Yet I keep us going, don't I? Never mind the spiciness in the shoulder or the ache in the hip. Those are muscle complaints. But these bones, as long as the bones are good, the house is strong. Isn't that what they say? You all talk and see only yourselves, like children crowing over their own trophies. But as I think of it, I'm glad you remind me of them, as my hearing slips into cotton mitts and my memory stutters a moment too long, the kind of stutter where you hope to God that it'll catch if you coo sweet words to it, pressing gently on the gas. Can we please remember that we are in this together, in the muck of memories, both blissful and tragic? They clog the joints with their weight, sticky like gum that we swallow to avoid punishment, or for lack of a better place to put it. We swallow it all, and now it is us. You are what you eat, they say. And after all this time, we have swallowed the world.
Wow, terrific.
Kapow. That's a tough act to follow.
If anybody can do it, it's you, Clint.
Oh, I'm gonna try. I don't know. This is, could be weird, and it could be too long. So you'll just cut me off at some point. The mic will just shut off. And, this is called Transcona Strips. As fate would have it, my sojourn in Transcona concluded with the arrival of my beloved companion from the bustling metropolitan of Montreal. To capture her essence in word would be a futile exercise, for she was a woman of contradictions that defied simple description, yet I shall endeavor to convey some semblance of her being. Her beauty was not of the ordinary kind that catches the eye and then immediately fades from memory. In her presence, one senses a spiritual quality that defies rational explanation. What truly set her apart from her boundless capacity for empathy and intuition? She possessed a keen sensitivity to the needs of those around her and was always ready with a word of comfort or helping hand in times of trouble. Her heart overflowed with compassion and kindness, and a rarity in the world that often seemed to have lost touch with those virtues. For all her gentleness and grace, she possessed an adventurous spirit. She was a traveler, a seeker of new cultures and experiences, and her stories of far-flung lands and exotic customs transported us to other worlds. Her willingness to take us into the pursuit of passions was a testament to her courage and determination. So, in our attempts to escape the confines of my grandparents' house, we elected to explore what the locals call the Transcona Mile. Four establishments situated within its downtown district, which covers a mere square mile. Our first stop was a bar renowned for its weekly Chase the Ace raffle, accompanied by the pulsating sounds of Motorhead's Ace of Spades. If one's ticket was drawn for the raffle, the lucky person was invited to choose a card from the deck. While the dance form was transformed into a stage for provocative performers, drapes in the luxury of a single velvet rope. Should the card not be drawn, the Ace of Spades, the chosen card was promptly returned or removed from the deck, setting the stage for the following week's event. I'm going to skip a little bit here. Move ahead. As I sat at the bar, my thoughts drifted to the scene unfolding before me. The air was thick with the scent of beer and smoke, and the hum of voices filled the room. Suddenly, my dream was disrupted by the approach of a stranger. He settled up to my companion and in a rough voice inquired about her origins. "I've never seen you around here before. Where are you from?" My girlfriend, with polite reserve, told him she was from Montreal, and she asked in turn where he hailed from. He replied with a sneer, "Born and raised in EK, sweet cheeks." At that moment, I found myself drawn to a separate conversation with a man who was clenching the bar with white-knuckled grip. His eyes were wide with a manic intensity, and I felt a sense of unease begin to settle in my gut. The man, a voice barely above a whisper, asked if I had any interest in fishing. I responded in the affirmative, eager to avoid any confrontation. He then fixed with me a steady gaze and said, "Good, we need to steal a boat and a trailer hitch and maybe some fishing gear. I need to get out on the water to calm my violent urges that are building up inside of me." I leaned over to my girlfriend and whispered that it was time for us to leave. She turned to me with a puzzled expression and asked, "What's EK?" I explained as we made our way towards the door that it was a suburb of Winnipeg called East Kildonan. We moved on to the next bar. The memories that unsettled encounter, we left them in the darkness behind us. As we strolled past the next establishment, because we weren't going to go in, the sounds of a scruffle in the parking lot caused us to pause. From what could be inferred, the altercation had arisen from a dispute over an unsettled debt. Amidst the chaos, a bystander had taken out their device to capture the scene. I attempted to shield myself from the violence unfolding before me. The brutality of the altercation was such that the victim had lost consciousness, lying motionless on the ground, as his tormentors attempted to auction him off to the highest bidder in an attempt to recoup some of their funds. My girlfriend turned to me and said, "Man, that guy's going to be sore if he doesn't pay up." And we'll move on to the next bar. The third bar was dimly lit with its peeling wallpaper and stained floorboards. The air was thick with smoke and the clinking glasses, and there was a half-lit sign that said "bottles only." The bartender looked at us for with a mixture of confusion and suspicion. He asked if we were here for the strips. My girlfriend, with a hint of innocence in her voice, stated that she was here for a beer and that she was vegetarian. The bartender was taken aback by her response. Suddenly, atmosphere shifted with a single velvet rope positioned in front of the dance floor. We realized our mistake, and thinking that this bar was not just a simple bar, but a seedier establishment. There's a guy who came and told Rodney Dangerfield S jokes to us, which was pretty fun. But now two men appeared like apparitions out of nowhere. It was the two guys from the previous bar. After ordering two Budweisers, they headed straight for our table. The one guy began by asking my girlfriend, "I've seen you around here before. Where are you from?" My girlfriend was caught off guard by the stranger's question, and I couldn't help but feel a like tinge of protective instinct as I felt the other man with bulging eyes like staring directly at me. His words were like a warning. He looked at me and said, "You left the last place before Candy had a chance to perform, but don't worry, she's performing here next." I couldn't help but think about who Candy might be and how she was holding the key to these mysterious events of the evening.
Great, bravo.
Something like that. Something like that. So that's from a weird book called Camping at the Geriatric Ward.
That you wrote?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it available?
You can have a copy. It's a chapbook. It's available online for download. There's like 50 copies.
Can you give us the site where we can find it?
You can find them on my website, which is on my Instagram. Okay. So in order to get to it, you have to hit follow.
Okay.
But then after that, you can go hit my website and go check it out. You know,
Clint Enns.
Clint Enns. Two Enns.
Two Enns, right?
Yeah, two Enns are better than one, they say, in the Mennonite community that I'm from. Nobody says that.
We say that now.
I knew that. That's why I laughed. So that's terrific. We got maybe about 3 minutes left, but want to thank you all for doing this. All three were wonderful readings.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not going to really give an analysis of it because I don't think we have time. But
3 minutes, go.
Yeah, you know, but
memories.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll just say that we're going to have a closing reception for the residency that'll happen Saturday, July 27th. Mm-hmm. I believe. Early evening. I'm not sure if we've established a time yet, but folks should come out to plug in July 27th. There'll be more information on the website, so check out the website at plugin.org, I believe, is their website address. So we've got a couple of minutes. Any final words for anybody?
I think I'd also like to say that we're only 3 of 9, right. Or 4 of 9.
Yeah.
So there are other artists there, and the collaboration that's already happened the last few days has been incredible.
It's been amazing. Yeah.
So many different viewpoints, and we're all here with different ideas for the ideas of cartography of emotion. So it's going to be really exciting. So yeah, I do encourage you to come to our open house.
And we did little artist visits, presentations, and everybody's work's really, really, really good. Like not just mine, but I mean everybody.
You are tough act to follow.
Yeah. Let's give a shout out to the other residents. If I make sure I can get this all right, let me know. We've got Lone to Tran. Mm-hmm. We have Ibrahim Schwab. Mm-hmm. We have Eben Olua, or EB.
Yep.
Akinbo. And we have here we go. Fiona Krangle. Mm-hmm. And then I'm feeling I'm missing somebody.
Frankie May.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Frankie.
Can't forget Frankie.
Frankie May. Is that it?
I believe so.
He's busy building a wall around the plug-in as we speak, so you might have to bring a tank.
He's not building a wall.
Oh, sorry.
He's done it before, but
not this time. He's going to do something new.
Yeah.
That's an old act.
Yeah. So strongly encourage people to check out the show and. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I think so. Check out Plugin July 27th. Oh, there we go. There's a knock at the door, so I guess that means we'll wrap things up.
I think it's the next act.
It is.
who's on next?
It's Tony the Brave. So stay tuned for Tony the Brave, folks, and we'll be back with Eat Your Arts and Vegetables, and most likely with myself and Zoe LeBrun next week to interview people from the Fringe Show.
Yeah.
All right, folks. So stay tuned for Tony the Brave, and talk to everybody next week, Thursday at 5:30 as usual. Bye-bye.